Hello, excuse me. Hello and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life. It must be the 3rd of October 2025. It's about 6:30 again. It's pouring with rain outside and my washing machine is broken. Welcome along. The lovely Julia is sitting at my side.
Good morning. I mean, happy dawning, whatever.
Happy dawning, whichever. And welcome along to another exciting episode of what we've been up to on the land and things, because that's about all we have been doing at the moment. So again, yesterday, got up, had breakfast of sorts, porridge, and bundled ourselves into the van when we were ready, headed off to the land, and then got to the land. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. We came home at the end of the day. So the task yesterday was to cement in the gate posts, which we had purchased this gate. You probably have heard the saga so far. Well, we realised that one of the gate posts was incorrect. They had supplied a post that wouldn't... Now, I can't remember if we spoke about this yesterday. We've told a number of people, you know, friends and family and what have you, about our things. I can't remember if we mentioned it in the Naked Englishman. But anyway... So we were umming and ahhing about this, what to do, whether we would dig the hole deeper, because the latch on this other one could have taken the thing, but it was the wrong thing, and it was silly.
The latch was too high, we'd have had to have sunk it down really low,
So we thought, oh gosh, we'll have to go back to the shop we bought it from, which was about 45 minutes, 50 minutes away. So we... bundled everything away securely, got back in the van, drove down to this shop. You know, meanwhile, time is ticking. All the time you're travelling on the road. And of course, when you want to just quickly do something, get there, change the pole over and then come back, everybody's driving very slowly. Out for a Sunday drive on a Thursday morning. After morning, yeah. Anyway... We got in there, it was umming and ahhing about which was the right pole, but it turned out that the pole, and I said, well, it's my fault, I should have looked a bit harder. But the guy said, no, that's our fault. We should have noticed that you'd bought a gate and the connecting pole, or the receiving pole, as they call it, which the bolt slides into, was not correct for that gate. He said, we should have spotted that. But the trouble is, some of the staff, they're trying to be helpful. They assume you know what you're talking about. They don't always know all of the products. So there'd be people in different departments. And we obviously got somebody who didn't know and said, well, they're the poles, there's the gates, take your pick. So it was sort of six of one, half dozen of the other, really. Anyway, he was really nice. He swapped it over. And in fact, he knew about gates. And he said, you don't need the thicker one. You could have the smaller gate, because for a 12-foot gate, that's more than adequate. If you've got an 18-foot gate, or, you know, I mean, I'm amazed how big some of these gates can go to. He said, you got one of those, yes, you probably need a bigger pole because of the strain of holding the weight of the gate. So there was a 20 quid difference. So he said, well, we'll do that and I'll get your refund. I said, oh, great, because actually I want to have a look at your chain. So he said, yeah, the loser that way, and you can have a gander. I said, no, not that kind of chain, you fatted. I said, so we can run a padlock over it. He said, oh, yes, I'll take you to it. Anyway, found a thick chain, which I've now got to find, because I know I put it in the van somewhere. And there was a difference of 17 pence. So he said, oh, I can waver that. I said, no. I'm happy to give you the extra 17 pence. I don't want you to think that I was getting a discount.
You don't want to be thought of as diddling anyone.
Diddling. Don't want that. Even though we've had to use all this petrol to come back, or diesel, to get back to swap the gate over, which somebody should have spotted. Anyway, whatever. So we had a laugh about that. And while we were in the area, we picked up some more postcrete, because I wasn't quite sure how much we would need. Anyway, we got back, we got this new post in, plonked it in. It still needed to go a bit deeper, so we dug the hole a bit deeper, deeper and deeper. And we set everything up by putting rocks to hold the posts upright at the correct vertical straightness, whatever you call it, on both sides, fixed the gate in just to look at it, measured it with a spirit level, and we got it. And so then it was getting dark, running out of time, because these everything takes twice, if not three times, as long as you think. And that, you know, these are all lessons that we're learning. So anyway, then it came to doing the post-crete, which I've never done before. I've done concrete and ballast, done that. I put posts in here at home in the past, ages ago, because they last so long, which is fortunate, on my fence and the gate here. Anyway, it was a long time ago. This is a new product to me. And you fill up the hole that you've dug, you put in the post, and you literally, and I mean literally, tip in the post-crete, which is the special mix, all mixed together at the right consistency, and you put that in, make sure you've got the post still level without all the rocks and everything, because it sets in 10 minutes. In fact, it sets quicker than 10 minutes. It's quite amazing once it gets wet. So I was holding the post straight. Julia was shoving in the concrete mix, and it set really quickly. Very impressed with that, and rigid. And I read the instructions. It said full strength will be by 28 days. I thought, oh, well, we won't be able to close the gate then. But I tell you, after 10 minutes, that thing was, you couldn't kick it over. You could do a flying drop kick and it wouldn't do it. So I thought, bloody hell. So anyway.
Why you'd want to fit a gate and then do a flying drop kick to attempt to kick it over, I don't know. But no. You can if you wanted to. You could.
Yeah, I'm just saying. there are people who experiment with their lives in very odd ways, apparently. And so I did a flying drop kick somewhere else. Got that out of my system. Closed the gate. Bear in mind, so this was the receiving post. We thought we'd do that first because we wanted to make sure it was in the right position.
Well, that one, we don't have much wiggle room for that one if it does need moving, does it?
Exactly.
So the other one can move.
The other one can shift around. And in fact, where it is at the moment is just spot on, because when you open the gate, it needs to clear, or it needs to, yeah, it needs to clear a tree. Effectively, yeah.
And a rise in the ground.
And if it was a little, I mean, it's difficult to explain without seeing it, but if it was a little further back, let's just say for the sake of argument, it would not fully open. So that was one of the reasons we did that post first. You know, it's immaterial whether you really get a picture in your mind or not, but you can see the sense of it. So we have that one to do. We were going to do it, but we ran out of water. And we had some water, but, you know, I didn't want to run out and balls it up because it's a slightly bigger post and it's the dominant post and it's the one that hangs the gate. And once you've done it, well, you'd have to dig the whole bloody thing out and that would be a problem. And also the gate would be glued to the concrete. So, yeah, we didn't want to do that. So, we will take water today, although it's raining now. But that doesn't matter. You can do this in the rain because it needs water. And it does it in 10 minutes. So that will be the first task of the day. We know it's the right depth. We've set it up. The gate is shut. And rocks and rubble are just holding that post upright at the moment, wedged in. If you see a big, you know, big rocks. So that will be very easy and quick for us to do. And then that's the gate done. Oh! So that will have taken 5 days. But, as you know, first day to order the gate, second day to have it delivered, third day to dig the holes, fourth day to start, finding out we didn't have the right posts and replace them and get one in, the fifth day to do the second one. You know. But we are now gate experts.
Yeah.
So if we do need another gate, and we may have more gates on the property, because we'll have little fields, that's the idea, mini fields within our field, with hedges, and it would be nice to have little mini gates. Now, they may be a nuisance, but they probably won't be concreted in. I think they'll just be wooden gates that we can bang in the posts. Or they may just have entrances, but it depends. There's, you know, we've got so much to think about. But that's by the by. But that's another job we can tick off. Phew. And even though it was frustrating having to go back to the shop, I keep thinking when I'm doing these things, when things go wrong, I think to myself, what is the lesson here? What is the lesson that I'm being shown? Well, it's haste. Again, often it's that too eager to get things going. I didn't check or didn't think about the posts. And if I'd looked at it, you know, in retrospect, you go, oh, yeah, it's obviously the wrong post. But I should have thought, because one post, the one we took, was a post with a sort of little latch. So those gates that you would open and it closes and it goes clunk and latches shut. This one doesn't latch like that. It has a sliding bolt halfway down the post or halfway down the gate, and you pull it back on a spring. If you've walked in the countryside, you're probably familiar with that sort of thing. Going through certain farmers' fields, you pull it back and then you have to open this big gate. But most public gates are the, if they are gates, they're more the sort of self-locking latch gates. And I should have noticed that, but of course, in my eagerness, I didn't. So that's a lesson that one learns. Check and double check and then check once more. So that's that. Anyway, got home last night. And of course, there was, you know, a pile of washing to do in the washing machine. And yesterday, Julia put a load on. And as it was washing, the washing machine was screeching, absolutely awful noise. Now, it does do that. It's always been a bit like a spaceship taking off. But this time I've never heard it make these weird noises. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound healthy now. I've had that thing for nearly, well, probably 10 years. And I bought it second hand, which ain't bad for a washing machine.
Mm. That was when they were built, back when they were built properly.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit more properly than they are today, for sure.
So, this morning, or was it yesterday? No, yesterday when we got in, there was the washing that had been in there. We pulled out and the drum wouldn't turn. It's absolutely seized. I thought, oh, that's that then. And I can't bear that noise. It's so, so loud and, you know, it's worryingly. So the washing machine has packed up. So that's a bugger. And the funny thing is I started to look at washing machines just to see what a replacement would cost. And there's various prices. And, you know, you think, buy the most expensive you can afford so that it's going to last. Although I'd probably go and have a look at the place down the road where I got this one, if they're still operating, because that was a good one. But it turned out it was the same money that I was about to spend on a decent chainsaw. And it was like, oh, do I spend the money on a chainsaw, which doesn't wash clothes very well, or do I spend it on a washing machine that doesn't chop trees down very well? And that is a bit of a dilemma. I mean, it can wash the trees once you've chopped them down. So,
or it can burn them.
Or it can burn them. Yeah, well, that's exactly. So I may have to wash things by hand for a bit. But that's okay, because, you know, if you just stick them in the bath, give them a rinse over, I'm not too bothered. At the moment, it's just land clothes, so they're going to get dirty. I'm not worried that they're stained. They just need to have a, you know, basic wash, soak in a bath, squeezed out, hung over the bath or whatever on the line till they're dry. So that will be fine. And also, we're going to have to get used to washing by hand. I've actually got a mangle in the back room somewhere that was given to me.
And we've got one of those washboard things.
And we have got a washboard for stubborn stains and things. But at some point, obviously, we'll probably get a washing machine. But there's I'm in no rush because at the moment the land is my priority. And we've got a lot of wood cutting to do, so I think I'll have to spend the money on the on that. We need to make a workshop, and I've got to spend money on the wood for that. So it's all money going out. However, the books arrive shortly, soon, next week. So hopefully there'll be some money coming in from those, which would be nice, because it's, you know, I don't have an endless pot of money, and you see the money dripping down and down and down and going, oh, crikey, what are we going to do? Because I haven't really given it a huge amount of consideration how we're going to keep going once we've got the basics done, because it'll be a year before we've got any real harvest, and I don't really see us making money out of the harvest as such. Not for a few years, if at all. So we've got to have another source of income related to the land. But anyway, something will turn up, so that's, I'm not worried too much about that.
It will come.
But so the old washing machine, I was thinking, oh, now I hate this business of trying to dump a washing machine. Where can we dump it? Because going to the dump is such a hassle these days, with, you know, registering your van and getting on the right day and the time and all this sort of bollocks. And I have done it before, and then, anyway. And then I suddenly thought, hang on a minute. People have used the drum of a washing machine for a number of things. One of those is to make a nice little barbecue fire using the drum as the grate. And I thought, oh, yes, because you could put some bars on there. You could probably buy the bars from an oven from somewhere like the Range or wherever, some steel bars or something like that to go on the top, but or barbecue, an old barbecue bars. And you could either use coal or wood. We've got lots of wood. Get a, mount it on bricks. And bricks are about a pound each, so for about 20 quid's worth of bricks, you could, 25 quid, whatever, you could make a nice little brick surround for it, plonk it on, and you've got a little barbecue outdoor thing on the land that could be quite useful for cooking. I mean, it's a glorified Essie, and not a glorified one, a deglorified, whatever they call it, however you speak that in words that makes sense. They also use the drums. I've seen them use them for something else, and I cannot remember. And I've gone, what was that then? And they said, oh, it's a washing machine drum. So that was interesting. And the metal from the box of the washing machine could well be useful for other bits and pieces. So, for example, we need to build a workshop to put the tools in and to be able to do things like juicing the fruit. Also, we might have to, anything that you want to do on a bench. There's this indoor space out of the rain, especially during the winter, and it will be cold. So we need to put a little wood-burning stove in there. Well, the metal, even though it's quite thin metal, one could cut out with an angle grinder or some such spinning blade, lengths of that metal from the old washing machine. If that's not thick enough, you could double them up, just bolt them together, very easy, and then you can have your flue pipe from the small, you don't need a big one, small wood burning stove up to the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and you use bless you, and then put the metal thing up there, and apparently there's some insulating gunk that you can put round it, which you get from wicks or wherever. So it stops the heat transferring to the rest of the bits of metal, and then the roof and things catch fire and what have you. And the chimney goes through the top. So it's a bit like having a register plate, if you know what I mean, what that is in a fireplace, but in the roof. So you cut a hole for the flue. So I like that because it's recycling something, and then there's usually a lump of concrete in there. Well, that's always going to be useful for either weighing things down or putting into the ground Where it's boggy, if you're bringing, you know, the vehicle up, that will be an area where we're going to need some rubble down, a little bit of hard standing. So that's not a problem. So in the end, we pretty much used the whole washing machine, and the odd bits can come back and just be plonked into a domestic bin. So that is good. Anyway, my friends, thank you for listening. We must get on. I think it's stopped raining now, so that's all good.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you, no doubt, tomorrow. Toodle pipe. Toodle pipe.